Hello, welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. It's Saturday the 25th, and hopefully this will go out on Sunday the 26th. Few bits to start with, really. It just gets more and more complicated, I think. I really want to look at the British situation. I put a post out, having received some information that when the Prime Minister, Theresa May, was actually in Parliament on her feet answering questions, there had been a group of her cabinet meeting in a committee room, and they were absolutely openly talking about how they were going to get rid of her. And that's the first time that that's happened. It's generally been happened in people's houses where one or two people have got together, or it's been a telephone conversation, but this was the first time that it had been obvious. And I got that information. And what happened is I put a post out saying, looks like she might resign. And I explained I got the information. She didn't that day, but what happened was her number two, the leader of the Commons, she resigned instead. That would be the equivalent in America, for the leader of the House, Congress, Nancy, to resign. So if you're an American and you're struggling to understand the British political system, if you can imagine the leader of Congress resigning, that's the same effect it had. Whatever the newspapers say, the reason that Andrea Lansdowne resigned was because she'd been put in an impossible position, because the Prime Minister asked her to take this bill for the fourth time, and she just refused point blank. And that really wasn't so much the straw that broke the camel's back, because it was already very obvious that the Prime Minister was dead in the water. But her leaving had a huge emotional effect on Theresa May. It's really interesting that the Leader of the Commons had been one of the most staunchest supporters of the Prime Minister, and when she then turned her back on the Prime Minister, that was it. The following day, then the Prime Minister did resign. So although my timing was out, by about a day and a half, the substance was correct. Obviously, I'm talking to you on the Saturday. The results for the European elections will be announced tomorrow. We all voted, for those of us who wanted to, on Thursday. But the reason that it's not been released is because other European countries are still voting. The Brexit Party, which is the new UKIP party. This is the party, anti-government party, anti-Europe party. Now watch for the share of the vote. If the Brexit party, headed by Nigel Farage, can secure 40% of the entire votes cast, that is an earthquake for the establishment in Britain. Anything under 40%, the establishment will cope with. But if they score at 40% or higher, but you know, it'd be a hard pull to get to 40%. But if they should do that, that is a cataclysm for the not just the Brexit, but the whole electoral system. What we're seeing with Nigel Farage is a move away from being the joke of the one-trick pony, the battle for Europe, to becoming a political party. And what basically, remember, is that Nigel Farage did advise President Trump. So Trump actually had Nigel Farage for a short period of time to just advise him on a few bits and pieces. So what you're seeing now is Nigel Farage pushing himself into the position of Trump. In other words, an anti-establishment leader, an anti-establishment party, wanting to do things that no other political party has done, such as reform the House of Lords, etc., etc. So it won't be a spiritual political party in that sense of the word. It won't be it'll just be a much more inclusive political party. But it won't actually break from the political mould. It will just be another aspect of it. But nevertheless, that's the position he's putting himself in. And if he can score 40%, that is the sign of a real interesting political situation. So all eyes on the Brexit Party tomorrow. Can they score 40% of the entire vote? For those people who voted Brexit, I hope that the Brexit members of Parliament don't let you down. One of the first things you learn as a politician, if you want to try and make life difficult for the ruling elite, is you don't ratify the budget. So I would expect the anti-European members of Parliament not to agree to a budget. Very hard for a government to operate if they don't have a budget. So let's watch that. All right, let's move on to America. President Trump due now very, very soon to Great Britain. I think it's the 3rd to the 5th, around about then, 3rd to the 5th of June. President Trump is coming here for a state visit, which means that he will meet the still remaining prime minister, and she will be, the prime minister, invited to a gala supper. But all of the meetings will be held between the Queen, some of the Queen's children, and the President. It's a state visit to talk about business. There's lots of trade deals to be done, and why would you want to talk to Theresa May? First of all, she's finished. She's on the way out. Secondly, she was very much in the pocket of the European leaders. And President Trump wants to talk to people in Britain who will be empowered to make trade deals with the US. Remember, if you're part of the European Union, you are not allowed to make a separate trade deal with America or Australia or New Zealand. You're just not allowed to do it. Leaving the European Union with a no deal, or leaving with an arrangement from the European Union that allows you to make your own deals, means America can come in and do business, as can Australia, New Zealand, Canada, India, etc. So that is the main reason for the visit. It's not just about shaking hands and meeting the Queen. It's about two people who are going to be around for the next few weeks, unlike Theresa May, who can forge some business deals. Then Trump, I think, is off to France, looking at, remember, June, the D-Day landings, landing in France, so the President wants to be there. A lot of American soldiers lost their lives, as did many others. And then I understand that he's off to Ireland, the southern part of the island, I think, to have a chat over there. So he's using it as a tour of some of the European countries. The Mueller report, not easily understood, even by people who follow this quite closely. It was always assumed that it was the Democrats that were holding up the Mueller report, but it's not really true. The Republicans were quite keen to extend the investigation, because what they wanted to do was to look at the issues of treason. Now, I did the Ted Marr show last night, and I don't usually give news ahead, but it's just the way it fell. It was Ted Marr last night, and then our show today. But what I did tell the American audience was that whilst I think it's widely known in, you know, these sort of cycles or circles, that there have been about five genuine attempts to assassinate President Trump since he came to office, some people are talking about double figures. I can't think of another president that's had so many attempts on his life as this one. But what is really quite hard-hitting and is not widely known is that there was an attempt to kill his family. Having found that they couldn't get to him because the security was not corrupt, unlike, of course, around JFK, where most of those people were corrupt, but they couldn't break the security into Trump, so therefore they tried to murder his family. Now, that has meant that that's a stone too far, that's a bridge too far. It's something that just takes it a completely new ball game. And so, with William Barr very recently announcing that he's going to be releasing some of this redacted material, we should begin to see some high court action as names are brought into the frame regarding people who have tried to either wiretap the president, secretly record his conversations in meetings without his knowledge, attempt to kill him, attempt to kill his family. This is hot stuff, because if he decides that this is the route he wants to go down, then it's being suggested to me that he has two options. One is the court system, which he would hold in Texas, because Texas has a termination policy, so if you're found guilty of treason, you would be electrocuted. And I understand that the president is looking for capital punishment and the death penalty on anyone who's tried to kill his family. So we could expect, electric chair or lethal injection. Or if he feels that the courts are not going to go down that road, then you'll set up a military tribunal, which many of us have been looking at and talking about for at least 2 years now. So this is really big stuff. And once and if William Barr releases that part of the Mueller report, that document, FISA report, then I can't really see it being put back under the carpet. I can't see the lid being put on it. If you're talking at that level about things, how can you go back to the status quo? So this could be the moment when President Trump is out of America, is doing a tour of Europe, and then this is released. So watch for that. It's by no means certain that that will happen. We may just want to release certain aspects of it. But certainly I'm being told that this is a very real, not possibility, but opportunity for the president to begin this long, long awaited action. So, exciting times. The situation with China is very difficult at the moment. We're just being fed details about a trade war. There is a military build-up going on. There are a number of countries that have a close connection to both China and to the Western world, like Taiwan, for instance, part of Korea, that have these connections that could see some activity. Don't just think about the fleet, American fleet, going to sit off the coast of Iran. Think about some of these places that are closer to China. There could be an issue there. So a lot happening on the global stage. Yes, it's exciting, but it's also a bit nail-biting. So thank you for that, and we'll try and get a few questions.
Okay, thanks. First question is from Thomas, who says, "Hi Simon, in your brilliant interview with Age of Truth, you elaborated two times on the rings of Saturn as the origin, so to say, or projector of the holographic reality we are experiencing, using the moon as a booster station. What is hard to wrap the mind around is, why is the source of a 3D illusion or simulation itself part of that illusion, hence the visibility of the planet Saturn? For example, is the projector in a cinema not seen in the film or on the screen?"
I got it. Yeah, no, okay. Fine, it's fine. No, I understand it. When you go into a cinema, the projector... I'm going to use your terminology because I think that might help. When you go into the cinema and you watch a film on a screen, that is a film that's been projected from the same physical reality. So you need the same reality to create the same reality. If, for instance, there was just a portal, let's say a black hole, and the energy came through that black hole and created this universe, it wouldn't be long before satellites detected this, and then at some point the ordinary people would then find out, and there would be the great question about, is this God? What is this hole that this sudden energy is coming through from? So it had to be in our reality. It also had to have a massive aerial, and you had to have something that would resonate. So the rings are not ice, as we're told, but I believe they're chunks of crystal, and the crystals are hit with the right frequency, and I don't know what that frequency is, and that then is sent out, and that projects it. So if you're going to create a reality, whatever that is, then it must come from the same reality to create the reality that you experience and you exist in, it must be projected from the same existing reality, but the energy waves are not. So the physical aerial is of the same material as the world we're in, but the unseen waves that resonate and hit it, they're coming from a reality. I hope that helps. So it's a good question, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Attilio from Greece says, "Hello Simon and Becky, thank you for sharing your light. My question is, how can a person maintain a constant feeling of love and care for all creatures of all universes and dimensions while living in a very crowded city ruled by technology and gadgets of all kind, in which almost everyday events and happenings provoke the exact opposite feeling?"
A harder question would be, how can you maintain love when all around you are murders, robberies, rapes, etc.? What you're telling me is that because you live in a very, very crowded anthill, huge amounts of people, and your attention is drawn to the physical world, how can you connect with nature? How can you maintain that higher love? That is the reason we're here, is to test ourselves, because we exist in a physical body. Therefore, presumably, we agreed to come here and to interact in the physical world. But what resides within our physical body and connects with our higher self, etc., etc., is of a higher being. So what we have to do, perhaps, is to say, yes, I exist in the physical body, so I take the trash out, I make a coffee, I do this, I do that, and I go out into the sidewalk and I see 10,000 people. And, you know, it's not living in a forest, it's not living in a mountainside, it's not living by a lake. And if you just thought that that was what the world was about, then you are reduced to an ant in an ant colony, and we might as well all give up and go home. But fortunately, we're not. We are something that lives with inside the physical body, and therefore we should remind ourselves through meditation or however else we want to do this, to believe and to realize that we're connected to the creational source, that we are connected to a greater a connectivity through love, and that we have to remember that this is a higher frequency and a higher energy than taking the trash out, as important as that is, making tea, that we do owe it to ourselves that in this short lifespan in this physical body, we really need to make as much effort to push the boundaries of our understanding as possible. So, you know, we try and give love, we try and set away by example. You know, we all make mistakes. I certainly make mistakes. You know, I often think I could have done that better. I should have done that. But that's part of our learning. That's part of the way we do it. So, you know, try and live more in the spiritual world and less in the physical world. We, all of us who are broken free from the control system, we exist in two worlds, not an alien world and a human world. We exist in the physical world, but also we must connect with that higher energy world. So have some strength. Don't give up. You and millions of people like you are all living in the big cities, are all struggling with this. But presumably, that's one of the tasks that we, you, I, have to overcome in order to move on to the next stage. It's a really good question. You're not on your own, and you can do it. You just have to really believe in what you know to be true. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The next question is from Kayla, who says, "Hi Simon and Becky, I'm 16 years old and my mum has recently introduced me to connecting consciousness. I have always been fascinated by mermaids and nereids and would like to know if they do or have ever existed. Thank you for your help."
Oh, well, great. I'm glad. We don't have any age limit or minimum age to join Connecting Consciousness. As you know, there's no fee, you know. There's no, oh, you get a discount if you're a child. You don't pay to be a member. So thank you, and thank you to your mother too, introducing, and, you know, you obviously decided that is something you want to take an interest in. If we look back through mythology, particularly the Greek mythology, and before that, we call it the Trojan stuff, but beyond that, to Atlantis, there are half-understood records of creatures that lived in the sea, male and female. Now, we have no fossil record of it. You know, we've got nothing like that. But what we can say is a number of cultures connected to the Mediterranean world, separate from each other, had these folklores or folk legends. And there's just enough there to get us to understand that this weren't the delusional drunkenness of sailors or half-mad mariners. There was probably something that they'd seen. Now, whether they described them accurately or not, I don't know. But certainly the Greeks and beyond that certainly understood that. Think about the Iliad and the Odyssey. The stories there talk about the siren sounds. They could just write that off as poetic nonsense. But the reality is that I believe that there's enough there. You can't say, "Oh, I believe in Bigfoot, but I don't believe in grey aliens." Or, "Well, I believe in grey aliens, but I don't believe in Nessie, the Loch Ness monster." So it's very, very dangerous for somebody to say, "Well, you know, my aliens are better than your aliens," or, "You know, my aliens are real and yours are not." And just because I haven't had any experience of any of those creatures doesn't mean they don't exist. And I've seen enough to know that anything is possible. Now, thank you. Good question.
Okay, thanks. Angela says, "What is a Lyra soul, in brackets, higher human? Where do they come from, and what is their purpose on Earth?"
I'll say that backwards. Every soul is different, so you can't say that everybody with a particular soul has a particular purpose on Earth. You can't do that. What you can say is that certain frequencies, certain souls from certain frequencies, will have the same intent. So if you're a reptilian-souled person and you haven't gone through a life change, then you'll probably be a little bit selfish. If you're coming from the fifth dimension or the sixth dimension, you'll probably be a lot more service to others. So I can't tell you what the individual soul's reason for being here, because that is unique to the person. And without the individuals in front of me, I can't do that. But what I can do is to help out a little bit and say that if you think about the sixth dimension, it's very high. In fact, it's the last physical dimension. After that, we go into a more of an energy type body. Lyrans make good school teachers, nurses, care for animals, care for sick children, care for sick old people, service to others. Lyrans lead the way in service to others. But Lyrans lost their home planet in a war with the reptilians and had two effects. The first effect is a terrible, terrible, heartbreaking sadness for Lyrans, who carry it to this day. Most of them don't, unless they wake up, they don't really know why they feel that way. And secondly, that destruction of the planet created humanity to travel all across the dimensions. So if it hadn't been for that, we would have a problem having humanity everywhere. So Lyrans are, I can't say the beginning of humanity, but I can say that they're a very important source for humanity. And Lyrans have a very important role to play on this planet, as do every other group. So you could be Lyran, but you could be horrible. Because if your mind hasn't changed and worked, you could be a difficult person. You could be Lyran and be awake, and therefore all the aptitudes that we would associate with Lyran you bring. So remember, it's not just the soul in your body, it's the consciousness of your mind and how you wish to engage with the people and the planet. Thank you for the question.
Okay, thanks. Michelle says, "Hello, Simon. First, I thank you for your truth and integrity. You are an inspiration for sharing and caring."
Thank you.
"My question to you, if you get this before things change financially around the world, okay, is as follows. I have heard that a global financial reset is on the horizon and in fact may happen in early June. It has been said that America is going back to the gold standard on the 6th of June. Coincidentally, Theresa May is retiring on the 7th of June. But the information I also have is that the global reset will not be because of any of the elite's plans, but instead coming from a group who truly want equality for all mankind. Have you heard anything regarding this, please? Cheers from an Aussie fan."
Thank you. For many years, a number of people have been talking about a reset. The reset is a relatively new word. It's died out of fashion the last year and a half when there was no reset. So people stopped talking about it. Before that, it was some form of global currency change. But the essence is the same, that it had been widely talked about for some 25 years that there was going to be some form of crash and there would have to be a rebalancing of the books. I've certainly been told that the first week in June is of pivotal importance, and there's no coincidence that the President of the United States is out of the US in that pivotal time. Now, whether anything happens, I genuinely don't know. But certainly a number of us have been told the first week in June is a date to watch, could be quite interesting. President Trump has worked his socks off, to use a British term, to get as much gold into the US as possible. The difficulty with the dollar, as we know, it's valueless. Well, it's not valueless, it's about worth about 20 cents instead of 100 cents. But the difficulty is that the American people, through their president, don't own the dollar. It's owned by other agencies, other individuals. So it can't be devalued very easily, it can't be crashed. And the idea of a huge economic crash in America doesn't suit the bad guys and it doesn't suit the good guys. Because if you're a good guy and you came to power and you said, look, I genuinely want to make America really great, whether you like it or not, that part of that means the economy, means people having jobs and being paid for those jobs. Well, if there's a crash in the economy, it's going to rather destroy your re-election hopes. So any crash that comes would not be the making of either side. If there's some form of rebalancing, then that is a probability, but not while China is still in the position that it's in. You cannot rebalance America at the situation of China. Remember that Russia and America are allies and work very closely together. Do not fall for the absolute nonsense that's coming out of the media. Russia and America are allied because their main financial enemy is China. So I am seeing something. It may be more of a political happening in the early part of June rather than an economic happening. Certainly it's something that President Trump wants. It's not widely touted, but President Trump would like to see the ending of the Federal Reserve. He doesn't like the Fed and wants to do away with it. But you can't do away with it unless you have another game in town, another package to put forward. And my understanding from what I've been told is that isn't ready yet. There isn't that strength. It's one of those throw of the dice that if it goes wrong, will totally crash the world. Well, the Western world. And there's a lot of responsibility there. But your inference is correct. There is some rebalancing on the cards. I do not have a date for it. It is absolutely dependent on President Trump feeling that the US is structured enough to be able to manage that transitional phase. President Trump is far more interested at the moment in individuals who have acted illegally than a financial reset. Others outside of America are probably more interested in a financial reset than he is. And that's probably coming from the Asian bloc. So, yes, you're right, but I think the timing is not yet. That's a really good point. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you please speak on human lifespan? Has it been truncated by external programming? When did this occur? And additionally, how will human lifespan change once we experience Gaia in 5D? Thank you from Christopher.
Never throw your Bibles out, keep them, because within the text is truth. And in the Old Testament, there is an incredible list, and I don't know which part of the Bible it is, I'm afraid, but there's an incredible list of individuals and how old they were. You know, some of them lived to 500 years, some were 1,000, 2,000. Incredible. But why not? Because if you're created to live on a planet and everything is balanced and everything is right, then you will be protected against anything harmful. If you were to live for 500 years, can you imagine if I lived for 500 years, you'd have 500 years of radio show. I think that would probably be too much for most people. But the point is that all of us, we would follow our path and we would have many, many more times opportunity to advance on that path and try and bring good or what have you to the earth. So if the bad guys were looking at all this many thousands of years ago, and I'll give you a date in a minute, and they thought, we can't have these creatures living this length of time because the experience, the wealth of knowledge they're passing on to their children and their children's children, their children's children's children, means that we're being outthought. We are being outmaneuvered because of the culture of the planet. So what they would do is genetically, it's not programming, but I know what you mean, a genetic trap or a genetic switch that created a deterioration of the physical body. Now, I'm not a doctor, I never pretended to be a doctor. Doctors are fantastic at mending bones. There are some great healers as well that can mend bones, but doctors understand breakages of bones. And if you break a leg or an arm, please go to a doctor because they're really good at it and they understand it. But I believe that it's sunlight that causes the degeneration of the human body. I believe that some form of, at about 250,000 years ago, some form of genetics were placed in because literally, if you are living on the planet, you have to be in the sunlight. And that's that creates it. I think from the age of 25 or 30, you begin to gently and slowly deteriorate. And if you're very lucky, you live to 100 years on this planet. Well, that is a figure that really is so infinitesimally small. You know, what can you do in 100 years? Well, we know what we can do. We can do some really good things, but in terms of a creature that lives, say, 2,000 years and looks at us, and we are just 5 or 10% of its lifespan, then it really has the upper hand over us because it can follow us generationally. We, our children, our children, 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 and it can follow that line, and it can ensure that that the development on the Earth is kept to a minimum. So I believe there was an artificial genetic trip switch that was placed into humanity to do that. Remember when humans first arrived, they had 12 strands of DNA, which meant that we not only could work, but we could think not to work. And that's no good if you want to be an evil person and control people. So humans being at 12th dimensional were very naive. Not naive spiritually. If you're at 12th dimension, you don't know what evil is. There's no such thing as Satanism in the 12th dimension. You have no clue. So they were tricked, very easily tricked. What do the Americans say? Taking candy from a baby. So these strands of DNA were taken, 10 of them, leaving two physical strands which you can see with a microscope, electron microscope. So we're left with two strands of DNA, enough to work, of course, but not enough to outthink the people who keep us in prison. So look at everything as a plan to keep the humans on the earth in a very, very limited understanding and a very limited knowledge-based concept, but working and doing things. Now, this has worked very well up to now because we were in an industrial age. We were digging coal, iron, and then, of course, silicon was given to us, other materials, and we began to go into the digital age. But now, these beings don't need so many people. From the technical side, they need people because they can live off the energy. But in terms of the manufacturing side, the need for vast numbers of people is no longer a requirement. And this is when this view about wiping out so much percentage of the humanity began to take hold, because of robotic devices, because we were no longer in a heavy industrial age, we were in a technological age, which meant that 20 people could do the work of 2,000 people. So we've seen humanity evolve physically, which the bad guys have been able to keep up with. But what's happened is we see humanity evolving spiritually in a way the bad guys can't keep up with. If, you know, you look back 10 years, just 10 years, in whichever country you're in listening to me today, and you think how tied down, how closed it was 10 years ago, and think of all the information, all the truth that has leaked out or escaped or been found out in the last 10 years, it is phenomenal. And that is because all of us are advancing, and those of us who are awake and aware are advancing at a faster rate. So basically what's happening is humanity is evolving beyond the speed of the bad guys to control us, hence all of the desperation. So you can plot it right back to 250,000 years ago. Great question, thank you. I'm going to read out some of my thank yous now, because we're probably a halfway stage. I want to thank all of you who've so kindly donated, and whether it was, you know, just a small amount or a large amount, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. This isn't a full list, but I'm going to read out what I can. So I want to thank very much indeed Leif, Drumset, of course, Abby, Eric, Simon, Richard, Valerie, Cornelius, Akibono, Texas, Imogen, Rick, Gabrielle, Greta, Sue, Julius, Robert, Leslie, Christopher, Susan, Katrin, Natalie, Tina, Shamsa, Elisa, Isabel, Monica, Bolivia, Cheryl, Jane, Nathan, DK, Karen, Nicholas, Tima, Jenna, Olaf, Pamela, Sharon, Valerie, Pascal, Laura, K-I-S-S, could say kiss, couldn't I, but K-I-S-S, Olga, let me finish now, and John and Ingeborg. There were others of you, I'm sorry I didn't mention you, I didn't have the time to the names, but I hope to be able to mention you next time round. Thank you so much for your support, thank you, it keeps us going, keeps us doing what we're doing, and it's only getting more exciting. Right, let's have a few more questions, please. Okay. Becky, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Fiona says, thank you for being you, Simon. Could you explain in simple terms the ascension process, please? Also, are we already on the new earth?
All right, I love it. Simple terms. Okay, I'll do my best. How the heck do you talk about ascension in the simple terms? I know exactly what you mean. There's many, many understandings of it. You know, some people envision a portal opening and stepping through. The point I think we're looking at here is every individual person is on a route, either to stay where they are and to evolve at a later date, or to stay where they are and never evolve, or to start evolving now or previously. We're all different paths, different routes. The third dimensional earth that we live on, God bless her, is unfortunately controlled by fourth dimensional energy. This is energy that was brought here. It's not native here. It's not natural. It was brought here by very unpleasant people. And when we battle through our day-to-day lives, both in the physical and in the energy, we are really fighting this fourth dimension. We're not fighting the planet. Third dimension is gravity. As we understand it, it's linear time. It's humans that have created the fact that you have to go to work. It's humans that have created all of the bits and pieces that frustrate you and make you sad or cross or sick or whatever it might be. But it is the fourth dimension that has created the control system. So as we evolve as humans, as we spiritually evolve, we're not escaping the third dimension. We are understanding the third dimension. But what we're doing is we're breaking through the fourth dimensional control. This is the noose, the rope around us. And that is what is being broken here. That is what we're evolving beyond. So that when we leave the third dimension, we don't go into the fourth because we've already cracked it. We will have already defeated it. So we go straight from the third to the fifth. And when that happens, that will mean no paedophilia, no Satanism, no murders, no rapes, no nothing like that. Because in the fifth and higher dimensions, whilst I can't say it's 100% removed, it's about 99% removed. Because all of the words I've just used, which have that rather nasty energy connotation to them, they all exist in the fourth dimension. They don't exist here on Earth, on the third dimension, when it first started, and the humans that came here never had a concept of it. But unfortunately, many beings from the fourth dimension who came here and preyed upon us, that is their energy, and that is their way of life. So we are on a path out of it into the fifth dimension, and that process is taking place now. If you look at the last question, I talked about how the truth is coming out. Think about 9/11. 9/11 in that context couldn't happen now because 99%, maybe that's a bit high, 90% of people would look at it and say, that doesn't look right. I remember the day after 9/11, and I remember saying to a guy at work, and I said, well, why did the towers come down? And he said, oh, because the metal struts got so super hot that it all fell. Right? Nobody would say that today, I don't think. So what I'm saying is that the human consciousness has evolved beyond the ability for the mimery and the shenanigans and the jokery. Think about The Wizard of Oz, where, you know, this big booming voice is behind the curtain. When Dorothy or whoever pulls the curtain away, there's a little man there. So I think the curtain's been pulled away now. We can see what's behind it. So, yeah, onward and upward. Tricky road, very difficult, but we can't really be stopped. Good question, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mark says, Piers Morgan calls me Britain's unluckiest man, and he's not as daft as he looks. After a lifetime of almost serial abuse from an early age, in 2016, my GP re-diagnosed me from being clinically depressed to suffering from reactive depression. I am a naturally happy bunny, but there's only so much one person can take. So, my soulmate suggested you, said you believed that gins can be attached to people from as early as the womb, and the bad luck that dogs a person ad infinitum. I know you're busy at the moment, but can we book a consultation, please?
Sure. The two bits I don't understand, it talked about, it wasn't ritual abuse, what was the word, Becky? Serial abuse?
A serial abuse, okay. From an early age.
All right, okay. So serial abuse doesn't, I don't work that with jinns, demons. You could be serially abused, but when we use the word serial abused, we generally are referring to satanic humans or just two crazy people in a family or one crazy person in the family who serially abuses somebody. Of course, often when someone has gone through that type of abuse, then they're either more prone to demonic attachment, or indeed if it's part of the abuse and it's sort of satanic magicians involved, then these demons can be used as part of the control system. So, I mean, I'm intrigued. Obviously, Piers Morgan, you know, obviously you've met the person and you've spoken to them, him. So look, you know, we'll check your email. We've got an email address for you. Then we'll write off and we'll offer you a slot, and we can have a chat, obviously privately and confidentially, and then be happy to help you in any way that I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Laurie says, please help. I had a spiritual awakening and now I have evil entities. I've already paid 3 people to summon them away and they're not leaving. They have physically hurt me with what they call magnetic resonance. They're inside me and they talk to me. I need professional, experienced help. Please help.
Okay. I'm not going to criticise other people for not getting rid of them. Sometimes a person is faced with something that is too great for them. Took at the Catholic Church, and they don't really train their priests or their vicars to go out and do it, and they do it out of the goodness of their heart, actually. And sometimes they come across an entity that's so damn powerful that they run out of the room screaming. And, you know, you can consult with a number of people and they'll do the very best job, but it doesn't work in that case. What we'd have to look at is why it's not working. What is the connection that it might have with you? We have to be careful with the word professional. On this planet, the word professional means going to university, getting an accepted qualification that allows you to practice medicine or whatever it might be, because the system said you went to an approved establishment, you read the approved books, you wrote what we wanted you to write, and you listed previous academics and previous scholars, and you got their pages right, and therefore we would like to put this flat mortarboard, this flat cap on your head, and say you're illuminated and now you can go out and be a professional architect, doctor, whatever it might be. So I'm a psychic and I work like that, but I'd be more than happy to help you. If I can, I'll certainly look. I have lots of questions to ask and see what we can see. Sometimes there's multiple problems. It isn't just one problem. But I'm very willing to have a chat. What we might do in your case is just have a 5-minute, 10-minute free chat just for me to get an understanding or a feeling of where we are. And the time to introduce another cat, I think. Hello. This is Tani. I don't know if Tani's been up here yet. Hello.
Yeah,
say hello.
She has.
Oh, she has. Oh, yes. She definitely wants another round. You know the famous white cat, Snostiana, or Snowstar in English? This is his sister. Now, I know you might say, how on earth can that be? He's white and she is a tabby cat. Well, that's what happens with cats. They can be like that. So this one here is the white cat's sister. So I'll just put her up there. Do you remember Ingmar used to sit up there? Bless him, my lovely Ingmar. No
he
longer
was
with us.
Uncle.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. That's why I mentioned it. Ingmar. Mm. Ingmar is Tani's uncle, and the white cat Ingmar is his uncle as well. So it's not so surprising that genetics there, and look, she's going to copy what her uncle used to do. Isn't that nice? Mm. So in your case, then, getting back to it, I'm really happy to say, look, let's have a 5-minute, 10-minute chat. Let me understand what's gone on. Let me understand the history. And then if I feel that I can help you, then I'll book you a proper session. If I can't, then I'll try and find someone else who can. Thank you for writing to me. I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks. Alfredo says, Dear Simon, thank you for your work. But how can you not see Trump is doing the cabal's work, promoting a war with Iran and protecting the Kabbalistic Israel?
How can I not see it? Don't forget, some of Trump's children are quite strongly Jewish. Okay, there is a family connection there. You have to remember that. it's no skin off anyone's nose for the president to say that Jerusalem rather than Tel Aviv will be the capital of Israel. Only two countries have done that, but that doesn't really amount to very much. Iran is an issue. There's no doubt about it. Regardless of President Trump, every president in the recent history has had a serious problem with Iran. A lot of the shenanigans between Iraq and Iran were fueled by America. I mean, that's for sure, or some aspect of American government, not all of it. And what we have is a situation where the previous president, that's Obama, with the leaders of the Western world, signed a deal with Iran that basically rewarded Iran for producing nuclear material up to a certain level and no more. So in other words, by making a big noise, Iran got lots of presents. Well, President Trump's not like that. It doesn't work like that. And what he said is, why should I pay you? Why should I support you just so you're good? You should be good because you want to be good. So this is the premise, this is the change of it. And immediately we see the way Iran is. Iran has turned around and said, well, look, you know, we're going to start tripling our uranium production. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. So there's a long-held dislike between certain members of the administration and the military in the US and Iran. Remember, of course, there was the Shah of Iran who was removed in 1979, who was a very big ally of the US. US was giving, or selling, I should say, selling a lot of its advanced technology to the Shah. The Shah was their man. The oil coming from there was coming to the US. And with the revolution, with the change, it cut off a lot of things. So it isn't straightforward. Israel, ideally, from their perspective, would love a war between the United States of America and Iran. They see the Iranians as probably the biggest motivator of terrorist groups in the region, and they see Tehran behind all this. So they would love a proxy war, wouldn't they? You know, America fights Iran and America destroys Iran. So these visions and views go on all over the place. I have yet to see evidence that Trump has been corrupted. I think he's a very, very clever man. He's not a buffoon, he's not a stupid idiot at all. I had the interesting privilege of watching a old video interview he'd done when he was about 23 years old. And if you take the time to look at some of this material, you can see that he hasn't changed at all. He's working to a plan. Look, there are elements in Israel which are incredibly powerful. You know, you talk about the Queen of England being incredibly powerful, and she is, rightly so, because of all the money and control that she has. But if you look at Israel, there are individuals there who, through a network of organizations, also exert a huge amount of control. And you can't fight wars on all fronts. You know, when Germany was fighting ostensibly Russia, they couldn't beat Russians, but they could hold them up. When the Second Front arrived, then Germany was finished because it was fighting on two fronts. President Trump doesn't want to be fighting on more than one front at a time. He's got some very serious domestic issues to deal with. And I haven't seen any insight. I know a number of people have turned against Trump simply because of the indictments. Where are all these indictments? Why hasn't he done this? Why hasn't he done that? And I'm frustrated too. You know, I'd like it yesterday, thank you very much. Get on with it, do it. But I do understand that you're talking about a cabal. You're talking about a group of people who for decades, have ruled the world. They didn't just arrive yesterday. They've been here in the modern age for decades. And if you go back to Babylon and Sumeria, thousands of years, you know, that can't be overturned in a few years. But we can see signs which give us hope. So I'm not prepared to write off President Trump yet. If President Trump comes out tomorrow and says, you know, well, okay, I'm off to my lovely holiday, and you know, forget the rest of you, then yes, he would have shown for what he is. But he hasn't done that, has he? And I come back to the bottom line here. If President Trump was part of the rather nasty negative forces that are out there, they wouldn't have tried to kill him so many times. They wouldn't be trying to impeach him. They wouldn't be trying to make a fool of him. You know, they didn't do this to Obama. They didn't do it to Clinton. They only did it to people they couldn't control. And in the case of John F. Kennedy, they couldn't control him, so they murdered him. He was murdered. And, you know, that is the truth to me. Good people get attacked by the negative forces. Negative people do not get attacked by negative forces. So, you know, when you see and hear people vehemently attacking somebody, you should ask yourself, well, why is that? And in most cases, it's because the evil forces just can't stand any truth around them. They can't stand the light being shone into the dark corners. And their natural reaction is a vicious, almost inhuman response. And that's what we see. So let's just hold fire. Let's just wait. You know, he hasn't done the full term of his presidency. Let's see what happens in the next few months. It's a good question. Thank you. Okay, so looking at the clock now, we've nearly done the hour. It's gone by very quickly. So the last question then, please, Becky.
Okay, this is from Aaron, who says, what are your thoughts on ascended masters like Jesus and Saint Germain?
I don't like the term ascended master. It sounds very guru-ish. I think maybe 200, 300, 400 years ago, 1,000 years ago, it was quite fashionable to live up in the top of a cave in the top of a mountain. You can't do that anymore. And I think it's rather hierarchical, the term. I know what it's trying to portray. It's saying that a person has spent many, many years of their life, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and have achieved a very high advancement. So it's just a terminology that they don't like. But in terms of what it's trying to portray, I fully understand that. I think Jesus was a real character. Now, whether he was at that level, or whether he developed it, or whether he was part human, part alien, whatever, I don't know. But what I do know is that there are certain individuals in different cultures who, although they speak different languages, their emphasis is the same, their teachings are the same. And it is the teachings of these people that we need to listen to. So I don't get hung up with individuals, really. I look at the message they portray. And if the message they portray is a loving, empowering, free spirit image, then we can be sure they're not part of the control system. It's very advanced technology-like for somebody to appear to be good and mix some good messages or some truthful messages with an underlying evil intent, which is designed to try and trap people or catch people. And if you understand the Jesus figure, he certainly wasn't like that. You know, he had a real aversion to banks lending money on high interest rates, hence turning the tables over. He certainly is reported to have had the ability to heal people. So in all of his aspects, the character of Jesus actually showed that he was there for good purposes. And in every other culture, there are individuals who are trying to do that. So let's do away with the labels, and let's just look at the planet manifesting individuals at set times around the globe who are trying to do their own work, which hopefully benefits humankind. So thank you very much indeed. It's been really good to get back on track now. We were out of kilter with our radio shows. We're back on now. And thank you so much for the questions. They are good. And look forward to the next one. Thank you.